Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA Plus, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA Plus, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.
Borahe, Iconic Army.
Borahe.
Yes, we just got back to my house.
Literally.
Monday night, we just got back from Hobie Palooza, and we are going in to record. We're ready to share our full experience because what a unforgettable weekend.
Seriously, amazing.
What
amazing.
An unforgettable performance.
Monumental.
It really felt like a BTS concert.
Yeah.
It was just incredible.
Amazing.
Yeah, I cannot wait to talk about it.
Yeah. And that's what we're talking about today. Yeah. So on that note, welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Standing BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right. Today we're talking about Hobie Palooza. We went, so we're going to share our experience. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the Iconics we met too. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go through the set list.
Yeah. But before we get into it, we want to say thanks, Iconics, for being here and for all of your support. If you'd like to support us even further and have access to our episode docs, monthly virtual Iconic hangouts, and our sound checks, please consider joining us on Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingbtspodcast. Your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out bi-weekly episodes. Any type of support is super appreciated. Thanks for being here and for listening.
Yeah, thanks, Iconics. So we drove in on Saturday. So our real Hobie Palooza weekend started Sunday morning, mm-hmm. as far as the experience goes. So Sunday morning, we actually got together with a group of Iconics who invited us out to breakfast. Mm-hmm. And what we think is so special about this group of Iconics, we're just going to shout them out. Kals, Sam, Holly, Monique, and Anne. What's really awesome is that they all met through attending our Iconic hangouts, mm-hmm. and they were just dropping their handles in the chat.
In the chat,
and they started a group chat, and just such wonderful friendships have blossomed from that.
What I think is awesome is that they met that way, and then they all decided to go to Hobie Palooza and get an Airbnb together. I think maybe some of them have like met in person before, mm-hmm. you know, but like the fact that, you know, they really haven't had much interaction in person, but right. they feel so close to one another and that they could like go and get an Airbnb together. And it's just like, it looked like they had the best of time.
Yeah.
I just loved hearing about their experience on Saturday, mm-hmm. because they went and supported TXT for their concert. And what is so awesome is that Sam came up with the idea of blowing up the TXT members' faces.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, large,
huge,
I mean, massive posters on their faces.
Yeah.
And they carried them around all day. And I guess tons of people wanted pictures
of
with them.
Of course.
But what is so awesome is that they said there was this like professional photographer that came over. Like she had like one of those crazy cameras with like that massive like pull-out lens.
Right.
And they had seen her maybe like backstage a little bit. You know, she said she was Korean and she asked for a picture of all of them together. And then like the next day or later on, they found out that They were in dispatch.
Like they were on, they were in dispatch. That is so fucking
when
crazy.
When I found that out, I was like, Kayla, they didn't even have to like edit it on their photo like us. Like we edit the dispatch logo.
Right,
on
our LA airport fashion. Like that's hilarious. We did that. And then they are actually made it into
they
dispatch.
They actually made it into dispatch. Yeah. Yeah. And you could see them on the Hulu stream too.
Oh yeah. They found themselves and took screenshots of themselves on the Hulu stream. Like how awesome. Yeah. Really, that whole breakfast experience was so amazing to get together with them. What an incredible group of women. And you know, it just feels like talking to people that we've known forever whenever we get to see any Iconics. And it's wonderful to see people that, you know, we know that we would be friends with and that we are friends with now that we've met them. You know, we feel like they're just like us, and we know that there's so many more Iconics out there who are just like that. So it was so awesome that they reached out to us and thought about getting together in this way. It was amazing.
Could have talked with them forever.
For hours. Literally the only reason why we left was because we knew we had to go get ready.
Right. Yeah.
So we went back to our hotel and we got ready for Lala. And we spent, you know, a decent amount of time putting our outfits on, getting our hair and makeup done.
Time flies by when you're like getting dressed and putting makeup and doing your hair.
Listening to music.
I mean, we were just playing. Obviously, we had listened to Jack in the Box all the way there, driving all the way there, listened to Jack in the Box, Hope World, and then, you know, just BTS shuffled in and around there. And we were getting nostalgic about other BTS concerts and just kind of reminiscing, and then also like anticipating this, you know, first solo performance that we're getting from a BTS member. Just so much excitement while getting ready.
Yeah.
So we had talked in previous episodes that we made these like tie-dye shirts. And so it was fun to finally get to put those on. I had like a real teal, like a bright blue teal acid wash, like kind of crop top. And I was really going for like the Jack in the Box, like the teal and the magenta.
Yeah.
So I went with the teal, had the black like jogger pants, which were so comfortable.
And cool.
Yeah, really cool. And I feel like I can just lounge around in my house with them. So I'm like, yep, I'm buying these. And then I had these really cool like Nike sandals that kind of remind me of Chacos. I forgot the actual name of these sandals, but they have like blue, orange, and neon green, like a neon orange and neon green.
Right.
But it's just little tiny accents. When I saw them, like Hobie,
right.
So Hobie.
Right.
But for my hair, and all, us three, my sister also went with us. I don't even know if we mentioned Brittany yet.
Yeah.
My sister was with us too. And we decided, we're like, what are we going to do for our hair? And Brittany said, well, I guess you and Brittany both were thinking about doing kind of like maybe space buns
or something.
Yeah. And I wasn't sure about the space buns, but then, you know, you had sent me this photo of this girl who just had like two tiny, like, pigtails, like almost like just a section
just at the front top at the front. Of your head
right yeah
very cute on you
it
you
really
rock
cute.
That style
I felt like Baby Spice
yes
like I
yes.
feel like I look just like Baby Spice
all the way yeah J-Hope's version of Baby Spice
right
100%
yeah.
It was really cute on you
yeah
for me I did that like kind of like bleach spray on a black t-shirt that I had stenciled J-Hope on, and I like made the lettering have flames on top, which afterwards he like showed us his arson merch that had lettering with flames on top, which was so cool. And then at the concert he just so happened to be wearing a black shirt that had like all these distressed holes in it, and I had put so many holes in my shirt and distressed it so much just because I felt like it fit the burn.
It fit the burn.
Arson.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that when I mean his first outfit that he came out with, I immediately turned around to you and I'm like, do you see his distressed shirt? Like, it's just like yours. Like, and yours is black too. And I'm like, what the heck, Kayla?
Yeah.
You like nailed it.
Yeah. I thought that was such a cool connection. I was like, I'm on the same wavelength as him right now.
But really?
Yeah. I also wore Converse because he wore Converse in the More music video and I just had to. And black lipstick was like my main accessory. It just really fit the vibe
that
for
was
me.
A
and
last minute decision.
It was, it just popped into my head. We bought it at the like the Walgreens near Chinatown when we were exploring there on Saturday, and you know, I'm glad I did because I loved it
too.
Yeah, it completed the look.
Yeah
It was a great time. I styled my hair with kind of like two ponytails, but it was like the big bubble ponytails. You know, I had never done that before. I thought it was really fun and cute.
I couldn't believe that you had done that on yourself. I was like, dang. And
I couldn't believe that it turned out
you had done it. It looked great.
Thanks.
But what's so funny about our hairstyles is we both had like, you had the two ponytails. Uh-huh. I had the two like top pigtails. Uh-huh. And a listener commented saying, oh, I love the hairstyle matching, like the jester hat. And we're like, wow, did we not make that connection?
Did not think about it.
It was
at
just
all.
Meant.
Yeah, it was meant to be. So we felt fine as fuck walking around this festival like we were ready for Hobie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So much fun.
Yeah.
You know, getting to just dress up like that, you know, and really, yeah. Feel the Hobie vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go all out.
Yeah.
So we ended up getting to Lollapalooza around like 3:30. And Kayla, you really wanted to see DJO.
Yes.
Which I did too. I don't know their music all that well. But you were like, yeah, it's the actor who plays Steve Harrington.
From Stranger Things. Yeah, it's Joe Keery. Yeah. And like, so I had known DJO. I had heard like one song and I just thought it was cool that like this actor is kind of like a side gig in a band, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then we found out actually with like at the Iconic Breakfast that morning, I hadn't looked at the schedule that closely on that part, but he was playing at the Bud Light Seltzer stage where Hobie would play later on that evening. And I was like, oh my God, I have to see him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we happened to walk in like just after his set started, and you and Britt were fine with like going and getting some water and some like concessions and let me kind of go up there. And I worked my way up, got fairly close in the crowd, and I just vibed. Like I've always been a fan of rock music, and that was like a psychedelic rock, really great guitar playing, amazing like bass and drum work too. And just vibing singing, you know, from Joe Keery himself. It was a great set list. I really loved it.
Yeah. He was at the main stage, that Bud Light Seltzer stage where J-Hope was. And that's really where we hung out the majority of the time, other than when we went to go meet up with Iconics.
Right.
So we also saw a little bit of Charlie XCX.
Mm-hmm.
But we were really on that side of Lollapalooza.
Right.
Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawk, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
I just want to talk about the festival a little bit here, you know, because there were a lot of people there, but I will say it was fairly organized.
Oh, like, yeah.
We really didn't have to wait in long lines for anything. For the most part, people were like respectful, at least over where, maybe it was just because there was a lot of armies
in our area.
Maybe that was it.
It's possible.
Yeah, because we weren't there on Saturday.
We really took it over that day.
Yeah. Like armies were just kind of hanging out in that area. You know, there was some trees where there was like shaded areas that people had put out blankets, just kind of relaxing. There were a lot of armies who were like handing out stuff, like J-Hope photo cards, bracelets, all that kind of stuff. So I just thought that the festival like feel was really fun.
Yeah, you know? It was great vibes all around wherever you went. It was never too crowded. That's, you make a good point. Like no lines except for the bathrooms.
The bathrooms
the only place with lines, but food, water, bar, everything, you could just walk right up and it was great. I was kind of worried about it being too crowded, but it really wasn't.
Yeah, and it wasn't too hot.
No,
like, that
we
was
really
what
got
I was
blessed.
Really worried about too. I'm like, oh my gosh, Lollapalooza, all I'm thinking about is just like a bunch of like drunk, really, really young people. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of different ages. There were kids, there were adults, there were older adults. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just a wide variety of different people.
Right.
But I was kind of expecting it to just be super hot and a little miserable, but it really wasn't.
I know. We really got some great weather this weekend. And, you know, even at some points during the day, some shade from clouds. It was really lucky, I think, to have been able to be out there all day and not be too affected by it.
Yeah.
So after getting in and seeing a couple of those sets, we also met up with Iconics at the fountain that was pretty centrally located in the park. We just kind of said, we'll be there from this time to this time. If you know us and you want to stop by, like, we'll be there. Mm-hmm. So we met back up with a group of women from breakfast this morning. They were standing there waiting for us, which was so amazing.
So amazing.
Such a surprise. Like, I didn't expect to see them again. Yeah. But then of course we just got to stand there and talk even more, which was just what we wanted to do all morning. Uh-huh. And then what was also really awesome to us was Shannon walked up to us, and Shannon had been carrying around a pride flag that she had written "Equality is you and me" on. And she was going around to everybody, all armies, and asking people to sign it. Mm-hmm. And that was just so awesome. And she was a listener. She said that she, you know, had been listening here for a while. And so of course we signed with her.
Yeah.
And
she said she was a baby army.
Yeah.
And, you know, learned a lot through our podcast. Yeah. When she was just a young army.
Yeah.
Which we love.
Yeah.
We love. But yeah, it's so cool that she had that and had come up with that idea.
Yeah.
So tons of armies had signed that flag.
Yeah.
And so we got to sign it too. Yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you saw her walking around, that's who you saw. Yeah. Shannon.
And then we met up over at the like Bud Light Seltzer concession stand area, kind of like the bar area. And we met up with Meg, who we love,
right.
Like longtime listeners. It's always amazing to see her. And mm-hmm. then, of course, Mama Trish.
Yes.
Meg's mom was there too. Susan and Claire. And what's so amazing about this group is like we all met up in LA.
Yeah.
So it was like we got to see them again. It just was giving nostalgic feels of when we had our iconic meetup in LA too. Just love this group of army, you know, specifically the Iconics, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, we have a close relationship with them, but it's just neat getting to catch up and hearing about like their experience, like traveling and what they were expecting and if they had gone to TXT the day before.
Right.
So thanks for all the Iconics who met up with us. Like,
seriously.
It means a lot to see you guys and talk with you in person.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So great to see like what thoughtful, kind, caring, wonderful people you are.
Yeah.
Oh. So that was a huge part of our festival, to be honest, was meeting up with Iconics.
Yeah, but it was right shortly after this that Kid Leroy was going up, and he was just before J-Ho.
Right.
So we were kind of over on the like left side of the stage, and so we were starting to get our spots. You know, we were like kind of camping out. We're like, all right, yeah, once he's done, we're going to go.
Right.
Go right in,
right.
Like fill all the
people
who
will
are
leave,
coming out.
It'll create a vacuum. We can fill in. Exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And what was so great is that army going in was so awesome, respectful, and gave you space. Like, I was really worried because, I mean, it really was just like body on body, which we were anticipating it was going to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
But as we were walking in, everyone was being super considerate of those around them. Trying to, like, keeping safety.
Encouraging
like
others
utmost.
To take time and not push
right.
and
not
let
rush.
People out.
Yeah, no panicking.
Right.
Or, you know, feeling frantic.
Right.
I will say some of the people leaving the show were a little rude.
Right.
These, like, music festival goers who, you know, weren't there for J-Hope were like, okay, we're going out of the way for J-Hope. Y'all can go see J-Hope.
Right.
It's like, okay.
Sorry yes, that, please do.
Yeah, yeah.
That like, we're here for the headliner.
We don't want you here.
Right.
Yeah. Like, we have enough fans. Get out. Yeah.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, it was totally fine.
Yeah.
And
I feel like everyone, especially as we were first filling in the space, most people had the type of feeling of, we will get there and, you know, like we will get into a space, we'll be fine, and we just have to be patient. And that was really great. There was no panic. There was no rush. And honestly, in our area, I don't know if this was true for everybody's space, but we kind of got to a place. We were all looking around us, greeted the people around us and said, okay, even if people get excited, we're not going to push forward. We're not going to push back. We're just going to stay here. And we all had a little bit of personal space and we were respectful of each other. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
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 Like Army did a great job.
Army did do a great job. And I was talking with Shelly, one of our Army friends, and she's like, honestly, the only reason why I would maybe go to Hobie Palooza is if I was going to be in a crowd that large and that tight, it would be with Army and only Army because I know that, you know, it's the fandom is just so respectful and kind.
Oh, it's so true. You can trust ARMY to be that way. And I shouldn't have been concerned, but I was a little concerned hearing from our friends who went to TXT the night before. And they said, I mean, it was packed body to body. Mm-hmm. There was multiple people who like would have to leave and go out because they just were going to pass out or something.
Yeah.
And so I was a little worried that it would be too packed, but the fact that it wasn't made the concert, I think, so enjoyable for everyone. When you're not worried about not, you know, being able to move freely, you can really get into the music.
Right. Yeah. I will say once we got into position, it only took a minute or two before I started to feel pretty hot. I was like, oh yeah, feeling the body heat of everyone around me.
Right. But sometimes there was like random gusts of wind that came through. Like,
yeah, that's true.
And I was like, okay, I don't know where this is coming from, but thank you.
Yeah.
But the anticipation just built and built because J-Hope, they had Lollapalooza. I want to call it Hobiepalooza, but Lollapalooza itself had actually pushed his set up from 9 o'clock to sort of 8:50 just because of the surmounting excitement and the size of the crowd. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to, you know, get it started earlier for fans and safety and also just give J-Hope more time to perform. So he got a 10-minute longer set list. But as we were all there, I mean, we were, I would say, all in our spaces by 8:10.
Right.
So we're like, okay, we have 40 minutes here and then the concert. And so in those 40 minutes, we start to see them set up the stage a little bit.
Yeah, there was never a dull moment,
no.
You know, because they immediately came out to start setting up the stage, and we could see this big box with railings on top of this box come out. And I was like, of course there's a box.
Right.
Of course there's a box.
Right.
Like, he's going to come out of the box.
Right. We were immediately like, he's going to come out of it. He's going to pop out of it like a jack in the box.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
But I love just like chattering with the armies around us. We're like, oh, yep, there's a box. Yes, 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 yes. Like, you know, because no one knew what to expect, really.
Right. I just want to say also at that moment when the box came out, you said, oh, that box, like, something about the railings and the height of the box reminded you of Just Dance.
It did remind me of Just Dance. Yeah.
Yeah. You turned to me. You were like, it's like Just Dance.
It's like Just Dance.
Yeah.
I did say that.
Yeah.
You know, I love Just Dance.
Yeah.
We'll get into that when we get to Just Dance.
Yeah.
but yeah. And so we were on the left side of the stage and that's where like the stairs were to get up to this kind of like
the backstage.
The backstage area. And so people would go up and down that and you would just hear ARMY start screaming. I was like, what are we screaming about? Like, what's going on? And I couldn't really see the faces of the people going up and down, but we are pretty sure that the first one we saw was Bang PD.
I definitely saw Bang PD.
It was
four people walking down and he was the second person. It was unmistakable. It was definitely him.
Yeah. He was like leaving right as like we think J-Hope was starting to like get ready to go on.
Right.
Yeah. And then we saw Jimin go up. Yeah.
And so he waved.
He did wave. I was like, okay, yes, that's definitely like either Jimin or J-Hope.
Right.
I like struggled to tell who it was. But, you know, the fact that they were waving out to ARMY, it was like, oh my God, it's either Jimin or J-Hope.
But at the end of the concert, I definitely saw Jimin leave when he left.
We know at least, Jimin
I
was
just,
up there.
Because
that's
it
where
was
he
the
was.
Black outfit, the black hair, and I saw him do that, run his fingers through the hair type thing as he was walking on the stairs. I was like, oh yes, that's Jimin.
That's
that is
part
Jimin.
Yeah.
So it was just cool, like, being in that area and kind of seeing that. That was the part that we could see of the behind the scenes was just people kind of entering and exiting. And as we were waiting for the concert, just the excitement kept building. And also on the screens, they had more
question mark. Yeah.
So, yeah, we were pretty excited by the time 8:50 rolled around.
He was right on time. I mean, the second it turned 8:50. The intro of Jack in the Box started.
Yes.
I mean, the second. So on the screens, you could see just the narration of the intro. So you could read along.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it was playing. And so the anticipation was really building up.
ARMY just started screaming.
Yeah. I mean, I think we were all like, yes. Like,
yes.
This is the way to start. I mean, on the car drive in, like, driving to Chicago, we were both like, okay, totally going to start with intro, VCR, you know, and that's exactly what happened.
Hell yeah. And then he, like, at the end of the intro, he sprung out of the top of the box. I mean, just popped up. He got so much air. He really like must have practiced getting that jump and getting high up out of it. Mm-hmm. I also really love that he started the concert on like this very elevated box on the stage, because I could imagine that armies even further out in the crowd were able to see him then.
Yeah.
Just because of how much higher he was. I thought that he must have done that intentionally. Yeah. On top of just the symbolism of him starting his concert as, you know, for the Jack in the Box album, coming out, springing out as the Jack in the Box.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, it does seem pretty intentional. He got so much air, mm-hmm, you know, he had to have had some sort of like mechanism that, mm-hmm, sprung him out.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, but you could tell he was trying to get as high as he could. He tucked his legs, mm-hmm, in to get up real high. Yeah.
A fucking entrance.
It was such an entrance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then, of course, he immediately starts More, which is just the perfect song to start, because yeah, it's the first one we got from the album.
We kind of thought that maybe he would do Pandora's Box, mm-hmm, first, but you really want to kick off the concert with something super hype.
A just banger.
Like, you know, with the Love Yourself, they started with Idol.
Right.
You know, coming out with something super strong.
Right.
So it makes sense that he started with More. Mm-hmm. And boy, did we have some time to like just see how he looked. I was like, oh my God, his hair, his curly mullet,
yeah,
dark hair, smudgy eyeliner. Mm. Like, oh my God. The, yeah, black distress shirt.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And the way this man was moving his body, sensual, like sexy the whole time. And
sexy
it was,
the whole time.
It was like just his natural body movements, the way he wanted to move to this music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like fluid body rolling side to side, feeling the music. Like not a whole lot of like, I mean, obviously there was some choreo for, mm-hmm, some of the songs,
right,
but he was just vibing.
Freestyling.
And it was all super sexy.
And like with all of that going on too, he was not forgetting the facials. He had all of these expressions. I mean, I saw some tongue action, mm-hmm, the glares, the passion. Oh,
man.
My gosh.
Some of the songs, you could see the pure passion on his face. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my God.
He was amazing the whole time.
I mean, obviously I knew he was going to be hot.
Right.
But I just like forgot for a second how hot he is.
There were so many times where I was like tapping you and like yelling in your ear about how fucking hot he was during, yeah, the whole concert.
Yeah.
Just dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dying. Yeah.
So he got us right there from the beginning.
Yeah. He really kicked things off with More. The headbanging. Yeah. All of that.
Headbanging in the crowd with Army, with Jungho Sock, yeah, to More. Iconic.
We were all headbanging the best we could.
Yes.
But, I mean,
with the space
tight
and,
yeah,
being respectful.
Yeah.
Yeah. No mosh pits, really.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he did Pandora's Box next, which was perfect because, mm-hmm, it was like opening Pandora's Box for the rest of this incredible set list.
Right.
And the bass line of Pandora's Box really came through in this live performance. That was the first thing. I really felt it in my chest and, you know, with the live band too.
I was really impressed with his live rapping.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, man, he's rapping really fast. Like, I kind of didn't know that he rapped that fast, mm-hmm, in Pandora's Box. So I was like, wow, I'm really hearing the rap skills. Like, he's spitting.
What I loved about that moment too, noticing the rap, was Army, it's not like we were ever quiet, but we were kind of hushed because we were so zoned in on this incredible rap and the, mm-hmm, delivery, the spit, just the vibe. You know, we were like really, we were all focused, laser focused. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wanted to hear it, wanted to just experience and soak it in. And of course, when the chorus hits, we go crazy. But, mm-hmm, yeah, I loved that. It was powerful. I mean, he made us all stop,
yeah,
and just stare. Pandora's Box.
It was fantastic. I will say, I noticed that I just wanted to just like listen,
yeah,
to him instead, yeah, of, you know, fully sing along. But boy, Army was singing along to every song. And I was just really impressed with everyone.
Right.
And I think he was really impressed.
He was.
Like, he was blown away at how much people were singing along.
Yeah. When he noticed that people were singing along, especially to the new songs,
yeah,
he smiled. Like,
yeah,
he just kind of took a moment and couldn't,
believe
that.
And he looked surprised.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you surprised?
Yeah. But I love that he had that moment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
After Pandora's Box is when he introduced himself. And what I, you know, we weren't weren't sure what to expect from the solo concert as far as like Mensa go. And what was crazy was that he really did not have many Mensa at all. He was just going the whole time.
He was
time.
Dedicated to bringing as many songs as possible right. and performing as much as he could for us in that time frame.
Right. It was a packed set list.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he pretty much had his first one and then his very last one before like the last song, and mm-hmm. that was it, besides like one moment where he took a little bit of a break physically just to get a breather.
Yeah.
right mm-hmm. So at this first he just introduced himself, and just I'll never forget, iconic moment, he said, "I'm J-Hope of BTS, but you can call me Jay."
Yeah. Oh man, the
slyness, the sexiness.
All this U.S. Army, like, oh no, he knows we call him Jay when he's here.
Yeah, I mean, and that was fucking Jay last night.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
oh, that was Jay.
Oh
yeah.
Man, I love that he
God,
said
that. That was last night.
I know. Can you believe it? It feels like
forever ago already.
Yeah. Something else that we should mention was that he was cursing. Yeah. A lot. I mean, at one point he said, "You guys are fucking crazy." Of course, we were dying.
Yeah, I mean, but I was like, oh my gosh, she said fucking. But then I was like, we are crazy. Like, I was like, I've been unleashed, you know? Like, I just like did not. I mean, I know I'm a huge mega fangirl for
right.
them. But I mean, it just came out so hard.
Yeah.
At
screaming.
This, yeah. I mean, yeah. I was like screaming, you know, at LA too. But
right.
boy, I don't know what it was about like being at Hobie Palooza that it just like was unleashed.
Right. It's the power of J-Hope.
Yeah,
it's Jay, it's Jung-Hoseok.
So yeah. Then after this like really short man, he came out strong bass line.
Fuck.
Right after that I was like, damn, he's doing bass line.
He's doing
already.
Hope World on us.
Yeah I kind of thought we would get bass line, but oh gosh, it's like that was our first time getting to like sing along to bass line
with J-Hope
mm-hmm. at a concert. Like, it was everything I've needed this
right.
whole time, this, you know, ever since Hope World came out back in like, what? I don't even
2017.
Know. 2017, 2018. Mm-hmm.
Like
I don't
know. February 2017, I think.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe it might have been 2018 now, but yeah, February.
Yeah.
One of those.
Man.
Yeah. Fuck. I mean,
just everyone knew the words,
it's,
you know?
Yeah. It's been 3 years that we've been waiting on mm-hmm. this, and mm-hmm. to like, this is probably the only time he's ever going to perform this set list, and
yeah.
to like finally be at like a performance with Hope World songs was so amazing.
Uh-huh.
Like you said, we kind of expected to get some Hope World because we knew he had like an hour long set.
Uh-huh.
But when it finally happened and that it's fucking baseline.
Yeah.
Damn.
I
and
think
baseline.
It was like all the time we've waited for something like this to happen or never knowing that this would ever happen.
Right.
You know, and here it was.
And here
it's
it
just
was.
Like everyone was screaming at the top of their mm-hmm. lungs, just like singing, rapping the lyrics as much as they could.
Right. Iconic.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had this little moment where he was like, it wasn't really a meant, but he was just like, this one's for the OG armies.
Uh-huh.
And he rapped his verse in Cypher Part One, which was, I mean, that's definitely for the OG armies.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that was so fucking cool that he decided to insert that right there.
Yeah.
Just like another part of himself that's like super early J-Hope establishing himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought it back here in his first concert.
Yeah. We had a hard time kind of putting our finger on it too. You were like, is this one verse?
Right.
I'm like, oh, no, I
and we're like, no, I didn't hear
verse.
Him say one
yeah,
verse. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Cypher Part One.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, he just like so smoothly transitioned into Hangsan.
God.
And oh man, I didn't realize it until like preparing for Hobie Palooza that Hangsan is probably my favorite song off of Hope World.
Yeah.
Because when we were making Tie Dye, I was rapping along to all of Hangsan.
Yes.
And both you and Brittany were like, wow, okay, rapper Bethany, like, you know all these, you know, all these words, all
yeah.
these lyrics. I'm like, yeah, I guess I do. And then in the car on the way to Chicago, Brittany was like, no, seriously, you know all the words to Hangsan. I was not expecting him to sing this at Hobie Palooza, but when he came out with it, I think this is when I fully got unleashed. I was
yeah.
like, I'm going to do
unleashed.
Every single
uh-huh.
word. Like, I felt bad for the armies around us because I was like, just being loud.
Yeah, I mean, but we had made friends with everyone around us, and I think they knew, like we just had to go fucking crazy. Right? I remember you turning around to me when it started, and your face was just incredulous. Like, you could not believe that this was happening. You were like, oh my fucking God.
I didn't expect him to do it.
Yeah. I love Hangsan too. I would say like Hangsan and Baseline are my two favorite on Hope World. Yeah. And to kind of get them back to back like that, like it was so fucking powerful. Uh-huh. And these like sandwiched in between the Jack in the Box songs too work so well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's what I think was mind blowing, was just the mesh of the two albums with how different they are. They blended so well, mm-hmm. like in the set list together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he kind of took it down a notch, and mm-hmm. we weren't sure what would be next, because like this set list was throwing us every time. Like, it was amazing journey, but we had no idea what was coming next. Mm-hmm. And he brought in Piece of Peace. Oh my gosh. I mean, he came to the microphone front and center. This was the passionate moment.
This was so passionate.
My gosh.
It brought me to full tears.
Yeah. It was emotional.
Hearing like the steel drums in that song, you know, the piece, I just, again, wasn't expecting Piece of Peace.
Yeah.
And I had turned to you and we were both like teary eyed, but I pretty much just
you
had
cried the whole time,
streaming the entire time from start to finish.
Yeah. I mean, talk about a song that we never thought that we'd see performed live and like seeing it with our own eyes and just like, I mean, really his passion was really all over his face and his body language and in his voice. It was amazing.
Yeah. How he delivered the song too was moving.
Yeah.
It was super moving.
Yeah.
And just how perfect that he went from Piece of Peace into Equal Sign.
Yes. Perfect.
Yeah. Was expecting Equal Sign.
After
was,
that. Yeah. It made sense.
It made so much sense. Again, just so much passion, but also like this one, he was moving around a little bit more, and I just felt like the whole crowd was going crazy during Equal Sign.
Yeah.
Like it was just, I just think it's such a cherished song. And I loved the graphics behind him too. Like there were rainbow graphics and we just talked about how the song sounds like a rainbow.
Yes.
And gosh, every single song, I don't know if you noticed, I was changing the light on my army bomb to match every song.
Yes. I couldn't, my app would not even load to open, but yours did. And you were dedicated. Like there was one that was yellow and you changed it to yellow.
Chicken noodle soup.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
You were on top of it.
When Arson, I was like red. Going red.
Yes.
Yeah. It was so much fun.
I loved Equal Sign here. And what I remember was Army started swaying a little bit. Some people had their hands up or their army bombs up. And that was really beautiful. Mm-hmm. Just singing it with those lyrics of Equal Sign, especially that chorus. You know, it really struck me that chorus is full English. And we were all there singing it like in unison with J-Hope. Like, hate'll paralyze your mind. Gotta see the other side. Cost you nothing to be kind. Mm-hmm. It was really powerful and impactful right there with all of Army.
Yeah, it really was.
Hey everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA+ and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.
And then I loved after Equal Sign getting Stop. I thought that as far as messaging goes, it worked so well. And it was brilliant if you're, you know, asking and looking for equality to then look at when you have inequality and when you need to stop and, you know, stop fighting or change your mind. Mm-hmm. And of course, his delivery on that song was so amazing.
Oh gosh, the delivery for Stop. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just neat hearing him doing that sly kind of rap.
Yes.
And he was moving around. He was starting to move around the stage now, you know.
The attitude.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So much attitude.
Mm.
But it was really satisfying to like all hear of all of Army going, stop, stop,
yes.
Stop, change your
mind. Oh my gosh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, everyone was really into it. We're all getting like a little snarly.
What was interesting, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I was just thinking about when those parts came up, I mean, he was rapping the full verses, but a lot of times during the stop, I saw him like put out his microphone or, you know, he was kind of dancing and bopping around. And on like an artistic level, it's almost as if, because he kind of wrote that song as a reflection to himself. Mm-hmm. And it's almost as if he was using the crowd to tell him, stop. Don't fight or stop, change your mind or whatever, you know, like almost as a reminder, as like an act of humility. I just thought of that. I don't know if that was intentional, but it was really him. It was Army saying it. He wasn't saying it.
No,
it was
I love that take on it.
Yeah.
I could see him being intentional about that.
Yeah. I mean, he did say that he meticulously planned every detail.
Yeah.
So I could really see him doing that.
He really engaged with the audience.
Oh, yeah.
So, so much. And you could tell like all those details were planned out so that, you know, Army was included in all of this performance. Mm-hmm. And he commands the stage and he can really work a crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, he's just an entertainer.
Like, and without a second stage, also, with a massive crowd all on one level, flat ground, too. I mean, he really captivated the entire audience. And that's, I think that's difficult to do in that kind of venue.
Yeah. So after Stop, you saw the screen go completely blue and things started to calm down again after Stop and he went into Blue Side. Which was just beautiful and so peaceful. And I'm just like relieved that you know, he got to perform this, you know, live. And it so smoothly went into Safety Zone.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like similar messages with Blue Side and Safety Zone, you know, we had talked about Blue Side. It could be like the blue side being like blue as in like sadness or feeling down, or blue as in like calm,
right?
You know, a more, and in, more calm
in
space.
That moment it felt really calm, man.
It felt very calm,
and a lot of that Blue Side performance was instrumental and was just him kind of vibing and moving around with the music, and we got a really cool like backlit silhouette of the blue light and just like his outline, you know, moving around with it. And you know, it gave us a moment to like relax and calm a little bit, and I think it gave him one too, and kind of like a reset before the set list continued, like a natural break in the set list.
Yeah.
Which was so smart because he didn't have to like stop or go off stage or anything. He was really capitalizing on every moment that he had available.
Yeah.
So after Blue Side, like you said, getting into Safety Zone, Safety Zone was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Just so beautiful. I mean, it's such a melodic song, and hearing him singing it live with like, I mean, that passion that he was bringing forth, it was wonderful. And all of Army around us singing it too was, I get emotional like thinking about it because it was one of those moments. Yeah.
I just love like the songs such as like Safety Zone and Equal Sign. You really felt the sense of connection with Army too in the crowd during those songs.
Yeah. And like with J-Hope at the same time, like you mentioned earlier, like that feeding off of. But then of course he like flips the whole vibe on its head right after Safety Zone. We get into What If, which is like the opposite experience that we have on the album listening. You want to get into What If?
Yeah. I mean, I think what was so satisfying about What If is like there is a lot of English in it. So like a lot of us were like, what if?
What if? What if? Yeah.
You know, I have no hope. Yeah. Right. And I just, the intensity and just like his presence on stage is so powerful. And you know, especially with these hype songs, these more hype songs, he just put everything he had into it. Like, even though he had a little bit of downtime with Blue Side and Safety Zone, he was still performing and singing and rapping. And then, you know, basically taking, you know, the slower songs as a time for rest, but like really not getting a full, you know, moment of rest because he's still performing. And then went straight into What If. And it was just like, I couldn't believe the energy.
Yeah.
You know, this set list was packed, man.
Yeah.
It was packed. He did not stop. He just kept going.
I mean, What If was like the red lighting. I mean, I just feel like he was letting all of his rage out, you know, all of his rage, his doubt, everything. And with every single What If, he was stomping on the ground. Just, I mean, his dancing was incredible with these hype songs, the way that he just let his body loose and feel those hard rock vibes. Mm-hmm. I mean, his body was exuding that too. It was amazing. Like the performance he put on with it was awesome.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because the camera angle that you could see just like up on the screen, like what was presented on the screen, you could see his like little like teleprompter in front of him, mm-hmm. that it said arson. So I was like, okay, we know we're getting arson.
Right.
Yeah. Like, oh my gosh. And yeah, all red. The screens, everything backlit, mm-hmm. completely red. I was like, army bomb, right to red, right. You know? And I feel like a lot of other people were doing that too. I mean, he was intense for What If, but Arson, it was like he was jumping, moving around, just like full stage,
right?
Like left stage, all right over. Stage, in the center. Like, I felt like he was utilizing every moment of that, mm-hmm. that he could, like every inch of that stage.
He was putting every ounce of energy that he had into
it. I really am just blown away with like the level of energy that he brought, mm-hmm. you know, consistently. Like, yeah. He had to have been exhausted after this.
Yeah.
Arson was great.
Burn.
Yeah.
Burn.
It's just so satisfying, like getting to like sing and
hear it and or hear his live vocals with it.
Yeah. It was a vibe.
It was incredible. And we got Music Box Reflection also, which was great.
Yeah.
Nice little break. And I think an outfit change for him too during that time. Yes. He was really quick with it.
Yes.
Into Dynamite. Tropical Remix.
The Tropical Remix.
Yeah.
And I was so happy about that because that's like my favorite Dynamite remix.
Right.
Yeah. I think this is a great time to talk about the backup dancers that he had too.
Yes.
Because he had backup dancers with him. I will have to say one of the backup dancers, this girl, she had like long blonde hair.
Tall.
Yeah. She was outstanding. Mm-hmm. You know, she, you could tell, was so into the music. Like, she knew the music real well. And you could tell that she was just having a blast out on stage. And you could see, like, J-Hope even interacting with
her. He literally said hi to her in the middle of probably Dynamite. Yeah. Like, I heard him say hi. Yeah.
She was fantastic. Funny. But all of them were so great. Mm-hmm. And I felt like all of their outfits too, like I love that they all had different outfits. Like, it wasn't like they were just like trying to have them blend in the background, you know, like they all had like their moments too, you
right.
know, and you could just appreciate them as dancers as well. But I again really did not expect Dynamite, but to come out with the Tropical Remix, you know, always kind of keeping it fresh, and
right,
you know, I thought it was great that he did that.
Yeah, the Tropical Remix is definitely like Hobie vibes.
Hobie
like
vibes.
I totally get that vibe with him.
Yeah.
And the backup dancers were really great. And he also had new choreography for this Dynamite. It mm-hmm. was totally different than what BTS as a group did. It was like J-Hope choreo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The one thing that it made me think of though was it made me like miss BTS seeing him perform a BTS song all by himself with like backup dancers. Like, you know, especially when it was the other rappers like parts and he was kind of like, he went to the side, he'd be like, hey, oh. And, you know, like in those moments, I felt a lack of BTS.
Yeah.
And so that took me out of it a little bit. And I still loved the song for what it was. And it was great in the set list. And it didn't like, in no way did it like diminish my experience of the whole show, but it was just a little moment where it's like, oh, okay, like, are they gonna do this? Are they gonna perform mm-hmm. BTS songs by themselves? Like, that's a little sad.
I have a big question mark around this one, you know, the fact that he performed Dynamite too. I don't know if it was maybe he just wanted a little bit of BTS mm-hmm. in the set list, or that he thought like maybe there's people, I mean, he did know that there were people there who weren't J-Hope fans or BTS fans that were just there as like music festival goers. Mm-hmm. So maybe like having a song that is popular here mm-hmm. in the States, that maybe they had heard that song before. Like,
that's a really good point. That could be a reason why they chose that in here, because a lot mm-hmm. of people know Dynamite. So any festival goer who doesn't necessarily know J-Hope or BTS could
they
still probably know Dynamite.
Dynamite.
Yeah. Okay. That's probably why. But yeah, that's just, you know, kind of a little moment.
Yeah. I really didn't have a moment like that where I felt like a lack of BTS.
Yeah.
But I think I was just like so intrigued to be hearing the Tropical Remix,
right.
And then, you know, admiring all that, him interacting with all the dancers too.
Yeah. I mean, the rest of it was really great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after the Dynamite Tropical Remix was Daydream, which I feel like the Tropical Remix totally prepared us for the Daydream, happy, boppy vibes, funkiness of Daydream. It
this
was perfect.
This setlist is so seamless. Yeah. Like it all fit really well together.
Yeah, wonderful. Mm-hmm. And getting Daydream. Oh, it was amazing. I mean, that was definitely one every single person was singing along to.
Yeah. Yeah. So satisfying to finally hear that. And then he did Ego. I feel like this was the song that most armies were wanting to see him perform just because we didn't get the Map of the Soul tour, you know? And so we've gotten Ego just from, you know, him at like the online shows where he's gotten to perform it online.
Yeah.
You know, Muster, whatever. I can't even remember if he did at Muster.
It just felt like so fitting for him to perform Ego. And like at this point in the set list, just knowing the meaning of all of these songs and knowing what he put into it. And like then him like, you know, that's my ego, like kind of reclaiming himself here at the end of it. I just really loved it here.
I loved the choreo.
Yes, the choreo was amazing.
I loved getting to see the choreo with the backup dancers. And then I saw that Jimin had also was dancing to Ego. Yeah. Brittany said that was her favorite song.
Yeah.
Was Getting Ego.
It was so happy and fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that we got to see it and the dancing. It was so much fun. Then he did Hope World. Not expecting Hope World, man. You know? And I just want to say, you know, point this out too. Lollapalooza, like the colors for Lollapalooza were Jack in the Box colors.
And Hope World colors.
And Hope World colors. Like the graphics were just like the Lollapalooza stuff on the screens before J-Hope came out. I was like, wow, this is really like Hope World-y. Like they have like all J-Hope vibes going on here at Lollapalooza.
And then the actual logo was teal and magenta.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Again, not expecting Hope World. So happy that we got that.
Right.
Yeah. It was really beautiful and just like, again, one of those like more upbeat, fun songs, like getting Daydream, Ego, and Hope World just was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And Dynamite, too. Like, it just was just such a fun part of the concert. Like, everyone was just like bopping around.
Yeah.
Super bright, super Hobie, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then for a moment, he spoke to us and he mentioned about how he had been here to Chicago a few years ago to perform at Speak Yourself, which was just so genuinely special because we were there at Speak Yourself in Chicago. So the fact that we were here at both events and like he shouted that one event out that we were at was super, super special. And he was like, this is a song that I performed then and I want to perform it for you now. So, I mean, I think this was the biggest surprise that he performed Just Dance.
Yeah. I freaked out. I think this is when Brittany took a video of me. And she's like, I just had to take a video of you so you know what you look like.
We need to post this video. Like, can we post it to our Instagram story?
I'm a little fearful to post it. Oh my God. Like, I've become a different person almost. But you're like, no, this is you on a daily.
This is normal. When we fangirl and hang out, I want everyone to know when I do convince her to post this, it's 100% normal.
Yeah.
And we love you for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really want to Just Dance. Like, I will watch Just Dance fan cam videos of J-Hope to this day. Like, anytime we're just watching, like, fan cams of BTS or anything, I always want to see his performances of Just Dance. They're the best.
They're the best.
His dancing, his vibe. Like, he's just so sexy.
Yes.
Like, it's absolutely the best. It's one of my favorite J-Hope songs. But I just felt like I was expecting Ego and, you know, some of Hope World and a lot of Jack in the Box. So I was like, no, don't get your hopes up. Don't even think about Just Dance. But in the car on the way to Chicago, I think I had kind of briefly mentioned, you know, like, it'd be nice to get Just Dance, you know, like, but I'm not expecting
it. We were all super doubtful.
Yeah. And then, yeah, when they came out with the Jack in the Box, like, stage,
right,
the, you know, box on the stage, I turned to you. I'm like, yeah, you know, that kind of reminds me of the platform he performed Just Dance on. And then he freaking did Just Dance.
Yes.
And I was like, I was dancing so hard. I was literally body rolling side to side.
Right.
And I was like taking up a little bit more room that I had previously.
Yeah.
Just to move around. Yeah.
A necessary, you know, thing to do for sure. What an amazing treat to have gotten Just Dance.
It was such a treat.
Yeah.
Such a treat.
And then Chicken Noodle Soup. I mean, we were hoping for it the whole time. And yeah. We were getting towards the end of it. I was kind of thinking maybe he's not going to do it, you know, but he did it. And it was so amazing. Like, this is such a historic concert because he's the first Korean artist to perform at Lollapalooza at all. This is his first solo concert. And now with Chicken Noodle Soup, it's the first like English, Korean, Spanish song to be performed at Lollapalooza.
Right.
And after, or while he was performing, we got surprise Becky G.
Yes.
Came on the stage. Army went fucking crazy.
Army went crazy for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh. It was so special to see them perform this song.
Yes. They have such a genuine friendship and support for one another. And so to see them after 3 years performing this song together on stage was amazing. They so deserve that. They have
such synergy with their dancing, too. You know, when they were dancing on stage, you could just... You know, the synergy between them, you know, and the backup dancers, too, when they were there. And I think they were both in these white outfits. Becky G looked amazing. Yeah. And what was so special about this song, too, is at the end, he, like, allotted some time for her to give, like, a little speech, you know?
Which was so amazing. Like, I was so emotionally moved by her speech because you could hear the emotion in her voice.
I thought she was gonna cry.
Yeah, as she was just, you know, telling J-Hope that she was so grateful for this opportunity and for their friendship and thankful to Lollapalooza. And it was so heartfelt. And she just said that, you know, she was really emphasizing how much that meant to her as a Latina woman and for the Latino community to, you know, have, you know, reached this stage and to have performed together.
It meant so much to her.
Meant so much.
And it was like so sincere from the heart when she delivered that speech.
Yeah.
And I think Hobie was moved by it too. And, you know, almost like almost at a loss of words.
Yeah.
It was so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So before the last song, after this, J-Hope finally said, you know, it's getting to the end here and I haven't spoken in Korean, but I'm going to speak in Korean, you know, for the first time tonight.
Right.
So we're just going to read what he said. So we just like, obviously at the concert, just got to enjoy him speaking in Korean. And when he said, I'm going to speak in Korean now, everyone's like,
yes!
Do it, baby, yes, do it. Yeah. So he said, hello, everyone. I'm J-Hope. J-Hope. Yeah. This is such a meaningful moment to me. It's one of the steps of this album's processes, which started with greed and intense ambition, grandly heading toward an end. Honestly, all the schedules for this album became my blood and skin, and at Lollapalooza today, I think seeing all of you, our army, as well as the public, has given me a firm and certain trust, belief that once again, it's such an honor, and thank you so, so much to all of you who came. To be honest, all of these schedules were a continuous fear to me, but despite that, an extremely meaningful moment has come. And although I'm a bit shy at myself overcoming this moment, I want to say that I'm very proud of myself. Okay, I've been talking too much, so this is a song that is very special and meaningful to me too. This next song is dedicated to all of our futures. Let's go. And then he performed Future.
Yes. Which was amazing. I mean, I feel like I've said amazing song a million times. On. You're so right. It was the perfect song to end on. This was, I mean, I got emotional during this song. I teared up during this song too. I love this song. It's one of my favorite from Jack in the Box. Like, it, I mean, I would say it's my favorite from Jack in the Box. And then he ended with it. And it was just so perfect to end with. Such a hopeful song. Looking towards a bright future with that song. It was an amazing moment.
It was an amazing moment. Yeah. It's the last song in the album. It's a song that, you know, is so hopeful for the future.
Yeah.
And I think that him giving this speech, like having read it now and also like at his V Live with Jimin and from his posts on Instagram, you know, this, it seemed like there were a lot of hurdles for him. You know, this was his first time going from performing and rehearsing with BTS to performing and rehearsing on his own. What a shift, you know, and such a challenge that he himself was like, it was a challenge, but I felt like it was good for me, you know, and that he's just so proud of himself and just, you know, taking it as like, this was an incredibly meaningful moment. And even though it's really difficult and this is tough, and such a challenge for me. Like, he's so grateful for everything that's come of it. And I feel like the armies at Hobie Palooza, like, really delivered and letting him and assuring him that, like, he was doing, I mean, he put on one of the best shows, I mean, I've ever been to.
Ever.
Like, and I know that I'll ever be, you know, have gone to. Right. And he did it as J-Hope.
Right.
He did it as J-Hope.
Right.
Yeah.
As J-Hope. As J.
As J.
Right. And he was so in awe of that experience. And he actually said on his Instagram post that it'll be a treasured memory in his life's history. Just like all of the hard work and all of the, you know, the tough things that went on in the background of preparing for this, that the payoff of Army showing up for him, showing out for him, loving his incredible set and just having a fucking blast during the entire concert. Like, that was such a reward for him that it will be a treasured moment in his life's history. Like, when he's 85, he's going to remember, like, this first concert of his, this solo concert of his, and how reassuring it was and how full of love and joy he felt after it.
And all the hard work paying off, putting this whole album together, but then, you know, this 6 hours a day or more of just, like, gruesome, you know, rehearsing to make sure that this performance was the best performance he puts on in his lifetime. You know, like, he did everything for it, and it showed.
Yeah.
Yeah. He put so much hard work into it. I just want to thank him for putting on such a fantastic, unforgettable show that, like, I mean,
we honestly still cannot believe that we were there.
Yeah.
Like, we were there. It's been like 24 hours since it ended.
Yeah.
Now, literally, as we're finishing this episode, and we still cannot wrap our head around what we had experienced and how lucky we were to have actually physically been there.
Yeah.
It really feels like
so fortunate.
So fortunate, once in a lifetime experience, and cannot thank and praise J-Hope enough for your hard work and the amazing music that you make and the awesome show that you put on there at Lollapalooza.
Yes, thank you so much, J-Hope. It was so enjoyable. Army loved it.
Yeah.
Gosh, thank you for all your hard work.
Yeah, thank you so much. On that note, we do want to say a special thanks to our supporters on Patreon, especially the VIP Iconics: Eileen, Michelle, Deja, Meg, Rachel, Robin, Emily, Madison, Holly, and Sophia.
Thank you, Sophia.
Thanks, Sophia.
Welcome.
Yeah, if you enjoyed this episode, please let us know. If you went to Hobie Palooza, let us know what your experience was like. And of course, you can reach out to us on Instagram or Twitter, Standing BTS Podcast. And you can find links for all of the things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away 2 tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA+, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.